webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
The things we look at change. Can you feel true? Calling out. When we bought the lie, we sold our soul. Gave our life away. Familiar pain remains the same.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Podcast for the 6th of June 2013, coming to you from the Gospel Revolution Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, and here from the GIHQ in Houston, Tech. No, not in Houston, Tech. I can never do this straight anymore, Mike. Every week I stuff up again. And here from the mobile GIHQ in Palm Springs, California,
is
the founder of... I'll get through this, mate. Someone hand me a drink, please. Is the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams.
Yeah, you're playing like Where's Waldo, you know. But yes, good morning, Barris. Actually, our recording time is very early. We've been on chatting for probably 45 minutes or so, and it's 6:40 a.m. here in beautiful downtown Palm Springs. And I hope that you guys are all doing well. Thank you for inviting us into your home and your car or wherever you may be right now.
Oh, that man with all that it is finished. Oh, that man with all that it is finished. Oh, that man with all that it is finished. Oh, that man with all that it is finished. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God,
has been extremely interesting, actually. I've had an absolutely wonderful time. This is one of those trips that all of the reconnections that needed to be done, all of the logistics of the meeting, things that I was not sure of how they were going to go, or a whole host of things. I actually had spoken with Jeff, and it's like, you know, I'm just not sure about this meeting. I was thinking of postponing. But then, of course, then I think of myself, which I rarely, rarely do, you know.
You selfless thing, you.
And I thought even 1 week later is going to be that much hotter in the desert. So We need to get this show on the road and get out of town before the heat hits.
Okay.
So yesterday was 105, which is a nice cool day in the desert. My first few nights here, I slept on a kitchen table.
The birds of the air have nests. The foxes have holes. But Mike Williams has nowhere to sleep except a kitchen table.
The kitchen table. So, yeah, it was an experience. And do you know a twin-size mattress fits perfectly on the average eight-chair kitchen table? It just fits.
Yeah, perfectly. But, you know, look, we're getting older, Mike, and in the middle of the night you sort of say, oh, I think I might have to get up and visit somewhere. I mean, that's a big fall to the floor, buddy.
Well, it would have been.
What did you do? What did you do when you stuck your feet down? You didn't feel anything but air.
Well, I did that even with my height, and it's really funny because I would either hop or scoot, and I learned I had to hop because if I scooted, the mattress would scoot off of the table.
Oh, this is going into areas I'm not sure about. So you're on a kitchen table, now you're into scooting and hopping.
It is. And the odd thing is I was comfortable. I do love a firm surface, and you've never had a firmer surface than a kitchen table with a mattress laying on top of it.
How thick was your mattress?
It was standard mattress, but it wasn't one that had any springs. It was just a piece of foam. So it's basically a piece of foam laying on top of a table.
Oh, Mike Williams, you're my hero, mate. You, the lengths you go to bring the gospel to people. I want to be like you. What would Michael do? So, okay, enough of your living conditions. What about the meetings? That's what we want to know about, mate.
Those were held at my friend Gigi's house, George Gale, and they were wonderful. Four of our guests came from Arizona, Mike and Joyce, and then Brad and Holly. And this was my first time meeting these two couples, and they are relatively new gospel revolutionaries. And I'm telling you, if the transformations that these men spoke of in their personal lives, the gut level honesty, and both of these men were pastors. I didn't know that. So there's two more down.
You're a scourge on Christianity, you are, Michael Williams.
Evidently. So both of these men were deeply involved in ministry, and both had their stories of just being what they were, which was families not really being able to stand them, and their wives were sitting there nodding their heads and rolling their eyes as they were telling the stories, like, yeah, it's that plus.
Did they know each other?
Yes, these two couples.
So these girls have chatted in the past before.
Oh, you should see
what he's like on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yes, I am sure of that. The others in the group, Brad and Mike, don't know this, but I had conversations with others, and everyone in the group was so deeply touched by the level of honesty that these men had. And
how long have they been coming out, so to speak? I mean, that level of honesty, for me at least, it took a while for me to even think about.
Yes. I don't know how long. I know that it's only been 2 years since they started listening at all. So I know that Brad's communication to his daughter and apologizing to her, I guess their relationship was very strained. And all those walls just fell down, and apologized for the judgmentalness and the strictness and things that he saw nothing wrong with, and he was right.
What was the name of these guys again, mate?
This is Brad and Holly.
Brad Wilson.
Yes. And then Mike and Joyce Camelotis. Both of these men, they're just regular dudes, you know? And if you saw them on the street, you'd say, there's just a regular dude. And both of them wept trying to tell their story.
Wow.
It was really, really, really beautiful. And the wives were thrilled with the changes. And like I say, everybody else that was listening, as I said, Brad and Mike don't know this, but I was talking with others, and they were very, very moved by the degree of honesty. One of the things we talked about in the meeting was honesty. I taught on the story, which was the gospel story, all the way from the conception of Christ through the resurrection of Christ. And I just wanted to get the story straight. Let's get the story straight. You know, we always talk around all of this, but I've never really taught the whole story in one seminar. So we did it. I think it turned out well. And this came out, and oh my gosh, it really was very strong. And that is, we just went through the scenario of, okay, the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is now simply and only a story, but it is the power of God. Why is it the power of God? Because it's the truth. Number one, for something to be powerful, it has to be truth. And then the truth, then, of course, is what we get from the gospel. And then I started into this thing about our story personally. I think that maybe these guys sharing in the manner that they did really sparked this. So I compared God's story to our story personally and individually. All of us have a story, and that story is our power. If this story is God's power, then our story would be our power.
Hold on. Mate, you referred to this on the outro of the last show. I'm really intrigued by this.
Yes, me too. Honesty about ourselves is the key to having the power that we need to navigate through our own lives in relationship with others. And it's a powerful thing just to be honest. Of course, I fell in love with honesty after many years of having to not be honest about my entire self and the extreme life that was built around something that wasn't true, the life that had to be dismantled when I did tell the truth, the number of people who were hurt by the fact that I had not been honest.
How long did it take you to dismantle the lie? I'll tell you why I ask, because my whole life was a lie on one hand and hope on the other.
I understand that.
And when you've learned to lie so well that you actually believe your own publicity, it's very difficult to break that habit.
It really is. And it is a habit. Lying becomes an addiction like heroin. Dishonesty really is an addiction. I dealt with it the first time many years ago when I cornered myself just about the stories that I told. And I really wanted so much. I mean, honesty's been something that I've craved in my life. So even after the deliverance in 1974.
The deliverance.
Yes. The deliverance.
Okay.
The deliverance.
Ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, not that deliverance. I remember I would start to tell a story, and I had gotten to the point to where I told stories that were not true at all, and I wanted so much to stop, but I couldn't. I would find myself right in the middle of one of them and realize, well, I can't stop now, you know, I had to finish the story. But I decided, I promised myself that the next time that I started telling one of these stories and it wasn't the truth, I was going to stop myself in midstream and just admit that I was lying. And
hey, what led up to that? Did you toss and turn one night in bed and say, something got to change? This is, I'll be that dramatic about, I mean, what led up to that? I mean, that's a heck of a dramatic decision.
It was a dramatic interruption. However, the lead up to it wasn't dramatic at all. It just wasn't. I just wanted to do right by people. You know, I knew that lying to others just was being disrespectful to them without them knowing it.
So how did that play out?
Well, I was traveling at the time with three others going to Norval's ministry on college campuses where we made money for him. So
that's a whole nother story, ain't it?
A whole nother story.
Selling stationery for the big preacher.
We were selling stationery. And everybody was told it was a college campus ministry, and it was actually a business. Anyway, I was sitting with some of these guys that I worked with, and I started talking, and I realized I'm in the middle of one of my stories, and it just wasn't true. And I just abruptly stopped, and I said, you know what? I said, I have to apologize to you guys. I said, everything that I have told you in this story is a complete lie, and I apologize for that. And let me tell you something, it didn't take two times doing that.
No, I imagine it wouldn't.
It did not take two times of breaking the habit of the stories that I told. Then there was the lie that I was telling about my deliverance that I had gone through. But, you know, actually, I caught what you said. It was lying with hope. And I knew what you meant immediately. It's like you are lying, hoping that it will be true. I hoped against everything that what I was saying was the truth. I was told it was the truth. I was told I was set free. I was told that that all the things I was experiencing was the devil coming against me, and that wasn't the truth. So you develop this thing of what is truth and what is a lie, and it conveniently becomes a justifiable way of lying.
Yes, yes it does, because after all, you're putting to death the flesh, you're mortifying the flesh,
you're agreeing with God.
Yes, you are. Yes, and it's a process, don't you know?
God. Yep, you are agreeing with God, and everything else is a lie except what God says, and therefore it's just a spiritually organized way of lying profusely.
And of course, all the time you're doing that is lost time. It's not like it achieves anything, but it's
worse than lost time, Ferris, because it too creates a world that has to be dismantled. It is not like it just evaporates in thin air. What I didn't realize is that the words I was being trained to say was doing something, but it certainly wasn't what I had hoped for. So this issue of honesty has been something that has been really close to my heart. The thing I have to be careful about is when I find out that I've been lied to, I'm very offended.
Even though you were such a practiced liar.
Even though I was such a practicing one.
What do you think that is? I'm the same. I hate injustice. I absolutely hate, loathe, and despise injustice. Doesn't stop me being unjust to other people sometimes.
You know, that is a strange little combination that we have going on there. You'll have to listen to the series to understand how this possibly came out this way. But at one point in this session, I said, we are all liars. And wow. I had covered the thing that through Christianity we had woven together. I revisited the three encounters that I had in 2010 of a diagnosis of cancer, a broken back, and kidney failure. So I went through those, and it was really funny when I told those stories afresh and explained just exactly how that took place and how that all I had to do is leave out one little thread of truth, and we had a divine intervention on our hands that we could prove. I mean, I had the documents. I had the documents that showed that I was in.
You had before, you had after.
I had
and
all of
course,
that.
And, of course, all you had to do was paint your faith in the middle. Hey, I just prayed this through.
All I had to do was that. That was a delightful year for me.
Being diagnosed with cancer.
It was delightful in this aspect. I got to practice the honesty that I love.
How'd you do that?
Well, I got to practice it because I was talking about these things online. In each of the incidents, I didn't mention anything actually until it was all pretty much said and done. I also was breaking any addiction that I had to need people to feel sorry for me. And man, I could really, really go for that, you know, and tell people a story. You know, you can tell if you listen to your own heart, you know what you're doing. You know, it just requires you being honest with yourself.
you don't feel yourself bad enough long enough for you not to know?
Say that again?
You don't feel yourself bad enough long enough for you not to know what you're doing? Do you really always know what you're doing? You said if you listen to your
heart. Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, I think that sometimes I do think that sometimes it takes peeling a couple of layers off before you can get to, as they say, that level of honesty.
So the people out there who we would, like some preachers or some politicians or some car salesmen, we would say that you know what you're saying is wrong, but I guess what I'm asking is, can you ever lie to yourself so successfully that you actually believe your own publicity?
Yes, I believe that that is the case. I think that that is called pathological.
Okay, so that's where we pass over into pathological lying. So most people who aren't there know what they're saying.
Yes. You know, I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist that's ever studied these things out. I'm just speaking from personal experience. So this issue for me of just personal honesty, being honest with myself, has been a huge thing. Being honest with the people that I love, being honest with the people that I teach. I think a great deal of that, the honesty for me, has come from allowing my contradictions to be resolved. Not go away, but resolved to
A lot of your honesty has come from permitting your contradictions to be resolved.
Yes.
Wow.
That's personal honesty, and the gospel has done that. The gospel brought an end to contradictions within me, you know, where that I had so compartmentalized my life, it was just crazy. I couldn't understand the depression. I couldn't understand all of this stuff that was going on in me, and this is only by observation. I don't know what has actually happened, but I know the depression left, and it all seemed to happen in the process of these contradictions ending and coming to grips with just being honest with myself and then being honest with others. It wasn't as though, you know, I got to do this, but it was a personal desire of mine to live this way. This is what I wanted. I don't know if there's something in my childhood that developed that. I don't know if it's just a human thing that we have that we would like to be honest. I don't know if we all want to be liars. I don't know that part of the story at all. I just know what I went through. So when we were doing the meetings here, and this reality came full front to your story is your power, it was almost overwhelming to me to realize that when I am dishonest, I lose my power.
When I am dishonest,
I lose my power. And I create something I have to empower.
What is your power?
It is my story.
Power generally enables us to do something. What does your power enable you to do?
Navigate.
So when you're honest, you are giving yourself permission, or you're giving yourself power to navigate.
Okay. To navigate. And you're navigating around real things now. You're navigating...
Cancer.
Yes. Or anything else in life. You're navigating through just daily life. The frustrations that were so immense began to unravel. I'm not saying I'm living a life without frustration. So it was funny. I woke up laying on the table. I start taking stock. I kind of feel my way around as to, you know, where I am, what am I doing. But this morning, I was feeling through my mind and my emotions and my experiences in life, my loss of my children. I don't get to see my grandchildren at all, and I don't get to see two of my daughters. And that's been 8 years. I went through the financial disaster, the rejection and humiliation that pastors have spoken horrible things about me. And the mental institutions, the shock treatments, all of this stuff, I just let it filter through me because I wanted to see, how do I feel about this stuff right now?
When was this?
This was laying on the table.
Two nights ago.
Yeah, a couple of nights ago. And it was just really beautiful because I didn't feel any bumps. I didn't feel any bruises. I didn't feel any cuts. I didn't feel any sores. It was all just really smooth. It was really silky smooth inside. And I still love my children so much. I love my grandchildren. And people saying negative things about me has not gone away. And I even let that stuff run through my head about current things that are going on. And it's like, you know, I'm good. I know all the times in my life this would not be good. And I know that it is the power of the gospel that has been unleashed in my mind that has created this brain environment that gives me the ability to navigate these things.
So, when are us mere mortals going to find out the contents of your meetings? When are we going to hear this stuff that it was so transforming?
Well, I suppose you're just going to have to wait till the series comes out. A purchase is required. So, we're here to make money, you know?
Michael, it's hard to get you to make money. I don't get it. You spent so many years in the Word of Faith movement, I wouldn't have thought anyone would have to show you how to do this.
Oh, I'm telling you, you and Jeff and Hazel and anybody on staff, you'd all been so furious with me.
Oh, what now?
We had four sessions, and it wasn't until the fourth session that I even remembered to bring up money. No, it's at the end of the third one. I finally said, I can't, I've got to at least say it so I can say that I said it, because I know I'm in trouble because I haven't done it. And Glenn used to just, it was his pet peeve with me, was that I always forgot this. So I brought it up. I said, oh, hey, guys, you know, hey, I've totally forgot to take up the offering. I forgot to even tell you that, you know, we need funds. You know, we'd appreciate your funds. And I said, but we'll do that tomorrow. So
so all those poor chumps who were in session one, session two, by the time they got to session three, they were off on their shift work. They were working at the restaurant, and you didn't get their cash out of their pockets. They had your money in their pockets, mate, and you've... What are we going to do about the new movie studio we want?
Oh, my. So thank goodness we are starting the summer pledge drive right now.
And, pledge drive? Pledge drive? We have a pledge drive?
Yes, we are. We are full-fledged, full-on into it. I was instructed to do this, so...
Fully fledged, fully pledged. Oh, man, you're starting to sound just like Rod Parsley. Are you sure you haven't been taking lessons?
Yes. But yes, we are beginning that. And so my failure in mentioning money during the conference, I'm sure Jeff will make up for my wrongdoings as he dials his little finger off. So.
Gospel Revolution.
Hey, mate. Mate?
Hey, mate.
Hey, mate. Hey, tell me about Eva.
Oh, my. Eva was delighted. It was really funny. I told on her in the meeting, so I'm going to tell on her here. We just left the last meeting, and the full realization for Eva that she had already been raised from the dead. That she was raised from the dead. I've been raised from the dead. She said, I've been raised from the dead. Michael, I've been raised from the dead. I've already been raised from the dead. I don't care what happens to this body. I've already been raised from the dead. I've been raised from the dead. So I drove the rental car into the gas station, and I got out, and the car was bouncing. I'm trying to put the nozzle in the car, and the car's bouncing around. And my first thought was, we're having an earthquake. And then I realized no one else's car was bouncing except mine. And there was this little sounds coming out of the car. And
squeaks of delight.
The car would bounce, and then there was this whoo. And then it was a few more seconds, whoo. And I've been raised from the dead. I'm raised from the dead. I'm alive. I'm telling you, she had a full on Pentecostal breakdown right there in the car.
Woo-hoo.
It was amazing. Her music was fantastic. It was such a wonderful thing, and it was a delight for everyone.
So, in her words, how would you describe it?
Michael, this is Eva again, and I'm so happy, more than happy, you know. And I have a song in my heart. I have a new song in my heart, which is the song with the holiness song. It is song with the happiness song, with the righteousness, and song with the eternally. Michael, I'm a new person. Oh my! I think I'm great now. I'm shopping now. I buy some water plastic, my water jar. Oh, you know, I'm so happy. Bye, Micah. Don't forget to send it to the email, okay? Bye, Micah. Thank you, thank you. I owe you so much. Thank you, Micah. Bye.
Gospel Revolution.
If the Bible is all about Jesus, don't you think that most churches would mention him with at least the same frequency as they mention all of their favorite dogmas and doctrine and all those rules of your particular brand of religion? Tithing, moralism, Old Testament law, abortion, gays, politics, all hail the leader, persecution, the end times, don't forget the bloody rules, God's perfect will for your life, fleeing youthful lusts, rock music, speaking in tongues, the coming kingdom, worldliness and how to escape it, those pesky rules, don't forget them, heresy, prophecy, soul-winning, missions, offerings, wrong doctrine, right doctrine, and don't forget all those bloody rules, relationships, long hair, short hair, dyed hair, liberalism, greasy grace, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, dispensationalism, and rules, rules, never ending bloody rules, and Calvinism, Arminianism, a missionary service, Sunday school, swearing and cussing, besetting sin, sexual purity, oh, and give us some more rules, won't you? False prophets, confession, dress code, mixed swimming, dancing, movies, television, dating, oh, and did I mention the freaking rules? Hey, do you hear that music?
What in the world is that for?
It's our anniversary. It's our anniversary.
Aw, Barris. Yeah, guess what? Yeah. So I looked for all this music for your anniversary. All I could find was a year ago we kissed and hugged and now it's our anniversary and no, I don't want to play that. And oh, how we danced on the night we were wed. No, I don't want to play that. But I found this song, mate. It's our anniversary. Can you believe it's been a whole year?
It has been a whole year, and I have my own song. Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
I thought you were going to say, happy anniversary, baby. Da, 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 da. Got you on my mind. That was one of the I rejected. Not that I don't call you baby or anything, but I just don't want other people to hear it, you know?
I know. Some things you have to keep private.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Well, congratulations.
I've got
congratulations, Barris, on this anniversary and... On your anniversary of this PowerCast, and let me say on this anniversary, thank you so very much. My goodness, this has turned into something that for me is a lot of fun. I think for people it's a lot of entertainment, enjoyment, and a source of a great deal of good gospel information. So, Barris, you've put a year into this, and with extremely minimal compensation, that is for sure. In fact, I think most of I think that the equipment that you have upgraded to cause this to happen has certainly exceeded the compensation that you paid.
Another year older, and what do I get?
Another day older and deeper in debt. There you go. Yes. Yeah, Barris does work for the company store, that's for sure. It all comes back to us. We give him money, and it all comes back plus.
I had a boss once. I got fired, of course, but I had a boss once, and I said, well, what do you want? You know, you pretend to pay me, and I'll pretend to work for you. But it's true. I've said to you, I've said it to Jeff, if we never got paid a dime, we'd do this anyway, wouldn't we?
Well, that is the odd thing about it. I have done this, not being paid a dime. Jeff has done this, not being paid anything. At first, The only thing that Jeff got was we paid for his transportation from the Carolinas to Houston, gave him a bedroom to sleep in, an office to work in, and food to eat.
Well, what more does a man want?
I just can't imagine. But and then of course Barris started doing this, and we had done a couple of shows already. And
well, that's the thing. I got a call from Jeff, and it was like, "Oh, Glenn's not with us anymore." And I didn't. I think being a human, I said, "Oh, what happened?" And there was very little information from Jeff. And and then a day later, I rang him back and said, "Hey, listen, you don't need to go a week with you. You don't need to need a break. We can do this. We can revive some of the old stuff, and then we can." And from there, it went to me talking with you, Mike, and we decided we were going to try something. But it was fascinating the way it happened.
Moving forward is the most powerful thing a human being can do. Stopping to lick your wounds is not worth the time or the effort that is put into it.
But it does taste good.
To an Aussie, I'm sure it does. To an Aussie, I am sure. Just moving forward. My goodness, I cannot tell you. If you want to find power, just move forward. Just don't stop. You know, it's just so vitally important to continue moving. If something is in motion, it will create things. But it has to be in motion for that to happen.
Well, I just want to say this, Michael. This year has been just the best time I've enjoyed for a long time. You and Jeff and Hazel and everybody, especially all the folks out there who are our listeners, the letters that you've sent, the emails you've shared, the thoughts you've shared, gosh, you've all been so encouraging, and thank you so much. We love to know that we're doing something for you, and I, for one, am just so honored and so grateful for being included with this little group of gospel revolutionaries spread all across the world who are doing something to change the face of this globe and the face of humanity. Thank you so much for letting me do what you let me do here, and thank you so much for being so effusive with your praise. So here we go, let's try for another year.
Hi, Barris. This is James Forehand in Hickory Creek, Texas, right north of Dallas, Texas. On this Sunday afternoon, I was listening to the webcast, and Barris, you were interviewing Wade Brewer, and it was Children of a Lesser God. And I just want to let you guys know that I really appreciated that, and that Wade know that I really appreciated that as well. He really has a deep understanding, and he shared with much eloquence today as well. Barris, I just thank you and Mike so much for all you guys do. You guys are a great connection for me, just to be able to come here on my computer and just be really lifted up in what you guys share. And when you talked about Calvinism and Arminianism, and I came out of basically both of them. I was in Calvinism for a while, and most of it was in Arminianism. But it is really wonderful to hear what you guys share. And I know I'm just one person who's being really lifted up and set free and taught how great a God we really have. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
I think I'm in a healthier mental place than I've probably ever been in my life. And I'm more of a believer than I've ever been, and more convinced of the magnitude and the scope of this message than I've ever been. I'm convinced that this message of the grace of God leaves God in his grandiose state of performing far more than we are ever even able to contemplate or to consider. And that I would have to say, in my experience as an evangelical, I was all of my life a child of a lesser God.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the
Gospel Revolution?
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
Mike, oh gosh, you're going to Calgary again.
Boy, I tell you, it is the milk run to Calgary, that's for sure.
The milk run.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Years I spent in dietary pride. My southern food was battered, dipped, and fried. Went to Canada to save my hide at Calgary. Pancakes there were great and toppings free. Maple syrup tasted great to me. There my taste buds all found liberty at Calgary.
So what are you doing this time?
This time we are bringing to Calgary the mystery of faith.
Oh, you got to bring a mystery. You can't just go by yourself and just be Mike Williams. No, I got to bring a mystery.
We're bringing the mystery with us, and the mystery has been revealed, but I'm not real sure the church world, the Christian community, has ever understood the mystery of faith. And it is a very profound thing. I'm still learning about this great mystery of faith that took place 2,000 years ago. Before we try to figure out what living by faith is today, let's find out what faith did 2,000 years ago. And you may find your need to understand daily faith diminishing to some degree as you understand the faith that took place 2,000 years ago. It is a mystery, and it's a mystery that has been revealed, and we are going to go into it in as much detail as we possibly can. I am really looking forward to this one, Bears.
At Calgary.
If you're like me, you wonder sometimes where the money goes. And so I thought I'd ask Mike to tell us, where does the money go? Now, I can tell you that a lot doesn't go to the staff. And I reckon that Hazel, who's been working herself to the bone all of these years licking stamps, needs a rise. So I'm just going to put a plug in for her right now. But Michael, what happens to all the loot? So what do you spend all the money on, Mike? I mean, I know that you live in a palatial home there, and you've got your four cars, three from the 1950s, sports cars. Does this all come from selling healing cloths, or is it in the pledge drive?
Boy, I'm wondering whose house you've been to.
I thought it was yours.
You snuck off to Jimmy Swaggart's house.
Ah, dang. The truth will out.
That's Baton Rouge. That's not Houston.
Yeah, I said that without batting an eye too, mate.
Yes, you did.
Hey, listen, what do we spend this money on? I mean, all of these incredible
things. Well, you know, we are...
See, you can't say, can you? You just make this stuff up as you go along.
Well, I was actually thinking about this morning. I thought, you know, I just don't see anything wrong with saying to people that... I have three people on staff that get paid so little. It's ridiculous. Jeff and you and Hazel, and everybody just puts so much into this. We need funds to come in just to pay the staff. You know, and you know, just because all of you guys are willing to do this without pay doesn't mean that we should continue that way. Hazel is retired now, and we really do need to put her on a small salary for all that she does, which is everything, all of the book work for the ministry. She handles all the finances. And
Now hold on. Newsletters. How many newsletters a month do we send out?
About 1,000, I think.
And does she lick the stamps for every last one of them?
Every dang one of them.
She licks the stamps for 1,000 newsletters?
Yes. Stuffs
and that's
the envelope.
Just the newsletters?
Yes.
What does she do the first of every month, Mike?
Well, that's when everybody that has made these monthly contributions, she has to sit down and dial the 800 number, put in the code, punch in the entire information from people's cards that they have established on file with us, and she protects those with her life, believe me. So for however long it takes her to sit there, and she has to back up all the way out of the system and start all over again to do another one. That's the first part. She pays all the bills. She and I get on the phone, and usually it's a juggling act. I do want to tell you that it is less of a juggling act than it has been before. We weigh out which bills need to be paid exactly when.
So it's not like she can say, oh, what the heck, tick, 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 pay all of those. You have to really talk about which ones can be paid first.
We have to have a powwow.
What else does she do?
Trips to the mailbox. Goodness gracious, is going every day to get the mail. Checking the mail to, you know, see what has come in, whether it's correspondence, or we do have some folks, their contributions, their monthlies. They do it by check. They mail it in. So she's the only one there to do this. This office is in Olney, Illinois, and there's only one human being there to take care of all of that, and that's Hazel.
What else does Hazel do, Mike?
Well, you really should ask me what Hazel doesn't do. We would get to the point of this a whole lot quicker.
Sounds to me like a four-letter word called glue.
It really is. And, of course, she's in correspondence with Jeff. And yourself also, because it requires everybody being in communication with each other. Anybody that knows me knows the people that I trust that are on my staff, I trust them. They know that they have a great deal of latitude about making their own decisions for what their job is. And everyone's so very courteous and would call and ask me if there's something that they were unsure of, a direction or a decision that needed to be made. I just know that you guys are all gifted to do what you do, and that's what you do. Just like with Moses and Kenya, that's one of the other thing that we do is the support for Kenya, which I would love to do more. The radio station is not on right now. One thing that we've got to do, I committed to this. Jeff has had a problem with his legs for many years and now has come to a point where that surgery is the only thing that is going to repair this.
He's had this problem since he was a youth, hasn't he?
Yes, since he was a young man.
How does it affect him?
The ability to walk without pain is how it affects him. So there's been different cycles in his life where this has been a little bit better, a little bit worse. But each time it got a little bit better and then a little bit worse, it's stayed a little worse each time, to the point now to where that, the doctors have told him that surgery is the only way. I wish that Jeff made enough money to be able to cover his medical expenses, but he doesn't. So I committed to him that when he runs into these medical things, that the ministry will take care of it. If we include what we've paid out for this up unto his surgery and the recovery time that it will take afterward, it probably would be $3,000. Once I've made a commitment to someone, I'm going to keep the commitment. And yes, I am turning to our fellow gospel revolutionaries for this, but if the funds don't come in, I'll go borrow the money. I mean, I will do what I said I would do.
How's Moses going, mate?
He's doing great. We just got a new report from him, actually. We want to give you as much of an update as possible, and this is the latest from Kenya. Greetings to all the GRs and the beautiful humans across the world. As Kenyans enjoy the year of Jubilee, the gospel of grace and peace is spreading like wildfire in the nation of Kenya. It has come to my knowledge that many church members, especially in the Christian community, no longer go to church. Reason being, they have discovered it's just a game that only enriches a few, a business indeed. The eye-opener is the gospel of grace and peace they have heard and learned from radio show, from radio show materials being from the Gospel Revolution, and Mike Williams Ministries. Am aware of six great churches which have closed down due to lack of customers.
A lack of customers. You mean paying members? Or did you mean victims?
Lack of customers. I don't know what he meant, but this is what he said.
That's too funny.
Others are doing advertisements on the streets and on the radio to the extent of providing tea breaks and lunch to members on Sunday just to maintain fellowship.
Well, it's about time they did something just to make people's lives better, don't you reckon?
One pastor told me that Sunday is their market day, and I have proved this to be so. It's crazy here, guys. Pastors desperately looking for followers by all means possible.
Wow.
Thanks to Mike Williams, Jeff Robertson, Barris, and all of the GRs whose financial contributions and support have helped make a difference throughout through the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. School of the Scriptures. The School of the Scriptures in Kenya celebrated its first anniversary on the 4th of April. So we had an anniversary take place 1 month ago, and we had another anniversary taking place today, actually, which we need to talk more about.
Okay.
The School of the Scriptures in Kenya celebrated its first anniversary on 4th of April this year, 2013. The number now stands at 57 students from various religious backgrounds.
Hold on. 57 humans.
Yeah.
From divergent religious backgrounds.
Yes.
Are all learning in the School of the Scriptures in Kenya.
Yes.
About
the gospel of grace and peace. Also in this report is included a really great picture of Moses and one of our students in full Muslim garb. And so this is just, it's beautiful. I'm telling you, it brought tears to my eyes to see this beautiful picture. The distribution of flyers is still on and aggressively done by the members in Nakuru Town and beyond.
How do they do that, Michael?
Well, they have to print all this up, which costs money, of course, and then they
print it themselves.
Yes,
and then they take it away by hand. They take it around and stick it in mailboxes or something.
They do that individually, and probably one of the main jobs that young children do there is distribution of flyers. They hire kids to go out on the streets and pass these things out. So
wow.
It provides just a little bit of income for a kid that needs a bite of food for the day.
Hey, how does he pay for this School of the Scriptures? How does Moses do that?
Well, they pay for it themselves.
How do they get the bucks to do this, mate?
Well, from their own hard-earned dollars, and one of the things that we're wanting to help get established is with Elizabeth, Moses' wife, is an incredible clothing designer. She made me three beautiful Kenyan shirts, and I've modeled them in the last two meetings that I've had Georgia.
Hang on. You've modeled them.
I was Mr.
Okay, I want to see that.
I am the model for Liz Taylor Designs.
Liz Taylor. That's I love it. So a designer, what she sews these up, but she produces them herself?
Yeah, unbelievable. It's really beautiful work. We're going to try to get information out to folks. Everybody that's seen them wants one.
And they are funding the gospel out of this.
Yeah, that's part of what they're wanting to do. Also, Moses has his own enterprise, which is the International Media College that he runs there. It's state approved and everything. They are rebuilding it from a previous owner, and they had a new intake of students. Yes, so these guys are hardworking folks, and They just want to get the gospel out. So the flyers are being distributed. This has been our plan B action when the radio show is not ongoing. We are looking forward to an uninterrupted radio show in the near future. Pastors are the main callers. I find that absolutely amazing because that's exactly what we have found here in the U.S., is that pastors are our number one inquirers.
And over there in Kenya, a totally alien culture, same thing exists. Wow.
The very same scenario is being set up. These two men that were in the meeting from Arizona, both were pastors. Pastors are the main callers and frequent visitors at the School of Scriptures for materials and CDs. Thanks to Sir Jeffrey for making the materials always available. We send everything to Kenya free of charge. We want them to have all the materials that they need.
Now listen, Mike, I know that you're an honorary Kentucky colonel, yeah?
I am.
Yeah, and now Jeffrey is an honorary sir?
He's Sir Jeffrey now, yes.
Where's my title?
Yes, we will come up with that very soon. How about Prince Barris?
I don't like Prince.
I don't like Prince.
It ain't quite the king.
Your efforts, guys, and support has seen the establishment of the College of Journalism in Nakuru, Kenya, and now having five staff members. So there's five staff members that are employed. They have radio and TV studios actually in the school where they teach people journalism. There's five different journalism classes that they can take, from print to being news commentators to being cameramen, the entire gamut. This school exists because of the support of the Gospel Revolution. We bailed the school out, if you will, and reestablished it. And the school now, it generates funds of its own. This is a for-profit school. And it is generating its funds. It gives Moses a salary. And there's a total of five staff members now who these are people that we're providing jobs for in Kenya.
I knew about the School of the Scriptures. I knew about the fact that he had a media school. I didn't realize that they had TV studios and radio studios to put all this stuff out in.
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, this is they have all the equipment. Everything's there. And with just beautiful students. And they had a new intake the 1st of June. I'm not sure. I haven't talked with Moses since the new intake. And we were really hoping for an increase in students. Of course, the increase in students is, of course, increase for income for the school, which is an increase in income for Moses, which is an increase of sponsoring of the gospel there. So I really just believe in helping people be themselves so that they can do what they do best. I realize it's highly unconventional. Most people would say, well, we're going to support the missionary work. We'll support what you do for the mission field. But I think that we do much better if we support the people in establishing them in well-paying jobs. And now these jobs are providing other jobs, and out of that will come the support for the ministry. So people's lives can be enriched just on every level. That's my way of thinking. Back to the report again. We have been doing a lot of marketing for the college, and slowly we are continuing to grow and gain grounds despite the competition in the market. So see, this is a competitive school looking for students. They go to all of the high schools, and they do their presentations in the graduating classes to get students, the whole nine yards. Two students, Simon and Purity, are on full scholarship due to their financial hardship and family background. Now, here these guys are struggling to get this school to be financially sufficient for them, and they hand out two scholarships to two young people just simply because of the financial hardship that their family is in. They want to help.
Wow.
I personally put my funds into this as often as I can. So here they are. We've got a sponsorship for Simon and Purity. And Simon's parents broke away when he was young and was raised by a well-wisher. But for now, he has had no one to support him to have food, housing, and school fee.
What does he mean, broke away?
I think the family broke up is what it was.
Okay.
And they left. And they just left him. We usually give him food, pay for his house, and educate him for free. He is a very good TV reporter and news presenter. Purity is being raised by a single mother of four who is struggling to just feed the family after their father married again and left them. We are supporting Purity in education. She is a very good actress, and I have watched a church movie she has acted in.
Seems to me that they're not just being a journalism school. What they are doing is helping people develop their own personal skills.
Oh, absolutely. So exactly what the whole vision of the Gospel Revolution is.
Yeah.
She is taking radio and TV journalism course here on sponsorship basis. The college income for now is not stable to pay all the bills comfortably, although by your support, we have continued to manage to do our best. Our ultimate goal is to be able to support ourselves, pay staff on time, rent, and more, so be able to do radio shows and much more as possible. We long for the day. We are heading there soon. Thanks a million for your support. The car, Subaru Legacy, you bought for us, is in good condition and always working for both the college and the School of the Scriptures. Conclusion to this report. Whatever we have accomplished so far here in Kenya is all by your generous support as well as contributions. Thanks, Mike, for all the Gospel Revolutionaries and friends. We can't thank you enough. We long to meet you someday. We love you all. We are one. With love, Moses Gata, Nakuru, Kenya.
Wow. I guess, Michael, what you're saying is thank you to all the people who've given into that cause.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We struck a gold mine ourselves by encountering Moses and Elizabeth. These people, I trust implicitly, they have proven themselves.
How long have we known them, Mike?
We have known them now just within 2 years, actually.
Have they ever let us down?
Number one, they've never let us down. And number two, they've never asked for anything. All of the things that we've done.
Hang on, say that again. What?
They've never asked us for anything. They thank us for what we've done, but I have never gotten a request from Moses for funds.
What touched your heart first time?
He was just so taken with the gospel that his questions were just rabid. It was amazing, the hunger that I saw in this man.
The gospel says the war is done. Guilt and judgment, there is none. The Father's covenant with the Son made God and human family one. God and man enjoy the gain. That stealthy gospel rides again. Before the light had dawned in me, difference was all that I could see. Oh, if you don't pray the sinner's prayer, you're on your way to hell's despair. But now, I know we're all the same. A stealthy gospel rides again. New wine in old skins cannot stay. New skins a must, or the old will burst, and old and new will fall away. New wine's a fountain from within. That stealthy gospel rides again. How well I see in in life's rear view, my criticism came undone. My mind began to open up, judging had a softer touch. I am so free, so calm, so sane. That stealthy gospel rides again.
So yes, goodness, we have so much. We only set a goal of 7,000, and now that we're talking about it, I think we need to set the goal at 25,000 because we could use up 25,000 in a split second, and it go to very worthy things that need to be done really right now. So thank you guys, number one, who've you got to understand this monthlies. I'm telling you, if you're only doing $10 a month, it makes a difference, especially the regular monthly contribution. It gives us a budget to work with, and we appreciate it very much.
Well, it's a good segue to our website. We're building a new website, Mike, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. And in that website, we are going to be building a membership level. In other words, we're going to have a public level where anyone who's on the web can see what's in the website. And then we're going to have a membership level where we're going to put a whole bunch of stuff, which is going to make it very much worthwhile for being a member.
That's wonderful. I'm very excited about the new website and the material that is going to be stockpiled into this. I think will be many, many, many hours of listening and entertainment that will be on here from a lot of sources. Do stay tuned for further information about the sources that we have, and the people who are going to be contributing to this website are people that you all know and that you all love and would love to hear from more, and you will now, plus the contribution that I'll be making to the website also.
For all of my Puerto Rican and Spanish friends in New York, get down up with all the miseria of the American order. If you thought up, prevent it, make a pledge.
Gospel Revolution.
Okay, family, it's Comedy Corner here, as I try to say everyone's names. And who has so far given in to the current pledge drive of the Gospel Revolution? The first one is James Taylor. I'm determined to get these right, as you can see. And he's from Cowhand. All right, here we go. James Taylor from Calhoun, Louisiana. Michael Price from Scarborough, Maine. Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida. Thank you, Jeff. You're keeping these nice and simple. I don't know if you're making up these suburbs and places, but I'm really appreciative of the fact that any Englishman can actually pronounce them. Cookie Davy Duck from Castor, Alberta. G'day, Cookie. How are you? Cookie, we have your special prayer cloth ready for you, and we're going to be sending that out just as soon as we can get it wrapped. You'll have it. Glenn Buchholz from Detroit's Lakes. They don't run two duplicate up to. It's either Detroit's Lake or Detroit Lakes. Oh, I see. It's Minnesota. Anything goes there. Pastors Ted and Pat. G'day, Ted and Pat. How you doing? Windsor down in Decatur, Alabama. Wolfgang. Oh, no. No, you're not gonna. Helgaddy Handkerchief. Helgaddy Kuturkoff. Okay, Wolfgang and his friend from Edmonton, Alberta. Aben Shelley Weber from Marchand, Manitoba. You're the funniest names in Canada. I mean, you're close to us, you're first cousins to us, you're nothing like Americans, but you still have weird names. Todd Bamberger from Rockford, Illinois. Mr. Anonymous, he's just as faithful as you like, that anonymous giver. From Edmonton, Alberta, Pep Washburn. G'day, Pep. From Marshfield, Wisconsin. And That's what that other one should be, Marchfield, I reckon, instead of March End. Marching Hand. Marching Band. Dwayne and Ruth Daku from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And we've only got one thing to say to y'all.
Thank you to all you gospel revolutionaries who are helping us to get the gospel out.
Michael, it's James Oliver calling from Kelowna, British Columbia. I was at your latest your deal over here in Calgary. I'm just giving you some feedback on the Gospel 101. Man, it's awesome. It's truly awesome. I got the Gospel of Peace, I got the Gospel of Grace, and I got the comparisons between the flood and the cross. I got it done inside. I've listened to it morning and night for 4 days since I got back, and it's made all the difference. It's made all the difference, man. 30 years of reading and struggling and not knowing how to connect the parts and put the puzzle together that's there, and it makes all the difference. I really, really love you for the work you did, man. I really, really love you. Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Well, one of the reasons I called was I got the Hebrews teaching, Hebrews debunked and revealed. And I just loved it. And I learned so much. And
oh,
I
wonderful.
Just so, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to getting more teaching. Wanted to let you know that I listen to you, and I enjoy the podcast, and I love going into the archives and listening.
Just keep up the good work, and golly, just great stuff, guys. You're way over my head, Michael. My head hurts. The lady that falls asleep to your teaching, bless her heart, because, you know, what happens to me is it's like, oh, my goodness.
Well,
but it's wonderful stuff, and you take care, and
thank you.
We'll be in touch. Okay, God bless.
And so it is that we must leave you, folks. If you'd like to join in increasing our coverage of this gospel of grace and peace, call our office at area code 352-569-4889 and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone us on 123-456-4097-1. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and you can catch us on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Remember, no real Christians were harmed in the making of this program, and thanks to our good buddy Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast from gospelrevolution.radiostream123.com. And so it is good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, and from the other end of the telephone wire.
This is Michael Williams. And as of broadcast time coming to you from beautiful Houston, Texas.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Palm Springs, Texas.
As of recording time, Palm Springs, as of broadcast time, Houston, Texas. And thank you guys so much. We are in full court press.
Court press.
We are in full court press for the pledge drive for the summer. And we appreciate all that you have done so far and all that you plan to do. We're getting so much done on so little. Thank you. It is just amazing. We'll tell you more stories of things that are happening in the Gospel Revolution. I tell you, 5 brand new people in the Gospel Revolution present at this meeting here. Brad and Holly and Mike and Joyce and also Eva Mull. And the joy that has come from Eva as a result of attending these meetings here. It really is quite amazing. And you need to know that these are ongoing things. If we only took into consideration what you guys have caused to happen in the last 2 years in these people's lives, they are totally transformed. It is just utterly amazing what has happened. So thank you so very much. Love you and I appreciate you deeply. And we'll be seeing you in Calgary very soon. And remember to join us again next time, same time, same station, where we're going to do exactly the same thing again, only...
I don't know what to say because you took my words. I think it's better. Yeah, better. We're going to do it a lot better. A lot better next time. We won't have him there.